Welcome, everybody. We're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. There we go. It's been properly noticed. And we will start with our first public comment period. Anyone wishing to speak? On items on the agenda, I believe.
Victoria Harding with SNHD and SEIU. And so just today I was able to, I actually looked at the advisory board stuff. I really liked it actually. And it actually looked to me a little bit like it's a someplace that I can actually take, like if I have issues or problems, and I can actually take that to the advisory board that are public health related, and seems like they can recommend things to the board. So I thought that was actually nice, as long as they have that ability to do that. And then as far as the other two things, which is the district health officer and the chief medical officer job descriptions, you know, reading it, it's really simple. The district health officer is exactly the same. The chief medical officer is Bonnie's job. It is the director of nursing. I know Bonnie's leaving, so I'm assuming they're just phasing out Bonnie and having this position be the chief medical officer. I don't know how that works because I've been in nursing long enough to know that nurses have to be under nurses. I'm not certain how that will work. I think Bonnie would have to be probably the one to answer that or whatever. The only other thing that I would really say that from my perspective of if we have somebody looking out for public health in this position, what else could we have them do? And it looks to me like it really is just the director of nursing and the clinics, and it doesn't have any ability to do anything with environmental health or community health, which are all very health-related things. And I wish that this had been broadened up a little bit so that issues that were in those areas still had the chief medical officer contributing to those. But this seems to be lacking that. But other than that, that's it.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? All right, we'll close the first public comment, and we'll move on to adoption of today's agenda. Do we have any changes or discussion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? That motion carries. So our item number four is a report discussion action. Subpart A, review, discuss SB 314 and resulting structural, procedural, and administrative changes in supporting governance documents. Everybody okay with the order that this is in? Go on to the board governance policy first.
Yep.
So I'll open that up for discussion. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of comments. And just overriding comment to start is we don't necessarily have to decide. It would be nice if we made some good groundwork and got most of it done. So we'll just, no particular order, anybody wishing to weigh in. Monty?
I think that both Annette helped to revise these. Most of these are, I think, especially item number one, pro forma. It's responding to the new.
So I saw some sort of grammatical change or something that I may have made that, but I didn't make the change. Oh.
And you'll see the draft changes all the way through, I think, which is probably true of all of these documents.
Yes.
So we have 001, 002, 004, 5.
I do have a question.
Can we do 2 first? 002?
Well, we can. There's 1, 2, 4, 5, 6.
I'm sorry.
Where are the numbers?
All right. Let's take them one by one.
Okay.
Number 001.
And I think what I would suggest that you want out of this meeting is a recommendation to the full board for next week as to whether to approve, for example, 001 or 002 and so on, or whatever changes you want to make or recommend.
So this is board. This is about board agendas.
This is not ever going to happen. It goes to the board chair, the executive secretary, and the account. And then the board chair can modify or make changes.
The board chair and I always meet. Right. We met today for next week's meeting. And so we always meet the week before so that we can go through the agenda so that he or she will understand what is in the agenda and to see if any modifications can be made. And I don't know if you did that with Dr. McDowell.
I certainly have done this.
You did.
Number three, just a question on AI. And the agenda item, which has been previously considered and decided by the board within the past year, may only be placed on the agenda for reconsideration by the person that voted on for the other side. Do we do a year normally?
I'm sorry?
I can't remember. If we do a year normally, how long the time period goes for reconsideration?
I
think it makes sense because you don't want something 2 years later to be put out for reconsideration. So I think the intent is that it's no longer than 1 year.
Correct.
And there's not a kickoff period, so
right.
to speak. Okay.
And that hasn't been changed, so that's been,
so.
That's been your policy?
Yes.
Make it long,
always
go back and look at everything because you
don't
know how it connects together.
And that one in 3C, what was the, you made those changes? Was that just cleaning that up to make it clearer?
Yeah, you know, if it says shall, then we have to do it that way. But there may be circumstances where we want to change the sequence of things. For example, at one point, we were doing the closed sessions toward the end of the meeting, and we wanted to change it to the beginning so that people wouldn't have to wait around so much. But if this is mandatory versus discretionary, we would have to get approval from the board before we could do something like that.
Yeah, that's a good
change.
We've been doing it that way anyway.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to clean stuff up.
In the middle of the meetings, that was...
It's been a while.
They're not at the beginning of the meeting. As I recall, they've been kind of in the middle of it.
You do your regular standard business, then you go to consent, then you can go to the year. That's how we've been handling it.
Yes.
It makes sense because you're always lose people. So, Jackie, our board of executive secretary, and then also the.
I'm the executive secretary.
You're the executive
right.
Because it's a different title, and that's why I apologize. Yeah.
I think it is clear. I think everyone, you may not know, but everyone here knows that.
Yeah, but if we're doing job descriptions of District Board of Health officer and the other, we might want to be clearer about what we mean, and maybe that's an antiquated title. But because the executive secretary, if that's the health officer, then maybe that's what we put under the health officer instead of calling it that. Then we would change this to.
Who is at the county? It's probably Don is your executive secretary.
No, it's we don't have one.
Oh. What do you have at the city?
City clerk.
Probably the city clerk. I guess.
We would have a county. She sits at our board meeting. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't approve agendas.
Yeah.
None of that.
It's the board. It's the county manager.
It's the county manager in conjunction with chairs generally how we do it. So that's why I'm bringing that up. If we decide we'll land on for health officer, if that's the duty, then let's call it health officer, and that's where that should go and get rid of the antiquated term of executive secretary.
Because this makes it sound like there's a board executive. It sounds like there's an extra step on there. Yeah.
Well, for clarification, there are. Dr. Iser has two hats. One, his function is the chief health officer, and when he's relating to you all as board members, he's your executive secretary, so he's your liaison with the health district. that's why they're two separate terms.
Is that in the bylaws? Is that how he's described that way?
I don't know if it's in the bylaws, but it is in his employment contract, that he's the chief health officer and executive secretary, chief health officer for the health district and executive secretary for the board.
All right. Well, we're talking about semantics, so yeah. If we want to change it, yeah. We can. If not, then...
Well, when we go look at the actual definitions of what we decided we want to come up with, maybe that's the most appropriate place. But it's really good to be able to, you know, whose role is what.
Yeah. I find.
Any other input?
This is quite a bit.
Okay. So we're ready to. We have a motion on the I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
Move it to the full board with the approval, recommendation of approval.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we will send that to the full board. 002 is voting and attendance procedures. That's front and back.
I have a question about Annette. I assume you drafted this. D-I, little I. It says that you must contact the board's executive secretary by 3 the day prior. And must looks a little strong to me.
Okay.
I think, you know, you might get sick. You know.
I think the issue is, and maybe Jackie can help me with this, is that it takes an extraordinary effort to get the phone set up and to get all that done, but I don't know how long that really takes. Do you know, Jackie?
I think that's going to
can
be
we
more
do it morning of? Can we do it at 7:30 for an 8:30 meeting?
It may have been a bigger deal in the Clemens room than it is.
Yeah. I think that's going to be happening more frequently with needing to get a quorum. But I just thought that seemed a little restricted.
You could say it's encouraged to contact.
Yeah, or something. Yeah.
Is that what you're kind of going with?
Or by close of business, which is essentially 4:30 to 5 of the previous day.
Previous business still not.
But just so it's not a must. Or encouraged, I like that. That's good. Because you get sick that night, you know, I'll send Dr. Iser an email or a text. Say I'm not going to be there, but...
So we're changing must to all are encouraged?
Yeah, by close of business.
By close of business to 7:30 p.m.
Okay.
Subpart 2 kind of addresses it a little bit too. Says that if you need to participate on the day of the meeting, you got to contact the board's executive secretary.
You want to say close business or 4:30?
I prefer 4:30 because that's when everything does start to close up, and trying to get someone then to set up the phone would be just easier.
So no later than 4:30.
Any other points or discussion?
I would like B. I mean, that's a good point. That language in B is, if you read that, is that saying if you missed the board meeting?
Where are you looking?
2B.
Where 2B. I'm sorry.
Oh. Is that a question on 1B?
Oh, yeah. I think that, and I don't want to speak to you in that, but it's... it's that missing board person's responsibility to be briefed, however she or he wants to be briefed, by calling me, by calling the chair, by calling, if there are two committee representatives, Chris could call Mary Beth.
Do you really need that? I mean, that by
common sense? I mean, we had in there a bylaws for a while, or I think. I
don't yeah. Know.
And I've got a question on 1B, just to give you some clarification.
So are we suggesting either get rid of it or just say exactly what it is?
You've got to do your job.
Yeah.
Now you got elected.
Exactly.
You're not going to be telling them.
I don't think you need it.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else in number 2?
Yeah, you have A? Yeah, I had a question on 1A, or excuse me, 1B. It talks about the three appointed, or the at-large.
Since back on the front page?
Yeah. Okay. Since you're at the end, without regard to location within the health district, their residence or place of employment. Well, for example, the business industry, it is kind of employment related. I mean, we have to be involved in the something that represents, you know, the district regulates. Now, is that a conflict, or am I just reading too much into this?
I'm trying to understand what you're talking about.
The last sentence of, well, actually, this is one big sentence. Number 1A, under voting procedures. Or one, excuse me, 1B, under voting procedures. Talks about the three appointments. And it says, without regard to place of employment, but like I said, the business industry, that is kind of employment related. You have to be in that industry to, you know, or in a regulated industry. So I'm just asking, is there a conflict here of how this is, or am I
talking about the location?
It's about the location. Location is your precursor to that. I would agree with that as a teacher.
That's great. Because that's exactly what it says.
Yeah. It's tying the location. Your place of business could be here, and you could be here. Okay. You're not impeded or prohibited from.
I think that's making it broader.
Yeah.
Allow for more.
Okay.
Yeah. Anybody else? Ready to vote on 002?
Are we prohibiting the use of cell phones?
We'll see that.
Where is that at?
That's number 3. The use of cell phones and other electronic devices during board meetings is prohibited. If our agenda's on the...
Only if you get caught.
You might want to better say just they will be turned.
Incurring.
Yeah, the voice mechanism will be turned off because a lot of people do check.
I assume that was the purpose of it.
I think it can cut people all of a sudden.
So silenced or vibration?
Yeah.
So I see several changes, if I may, and I'll repeat what I think I know. 2B is deleted. D, small 1, the board member is encouraged to, and 4:30 p.m. And item 3 is, and I think Annette wrote down something related to that, something about on vibration or something.
Cool. We'd start off with cell phones. Other
electronic devices during board meetings shall be silenced or placed on vibration.
Okay. Anybody want to turn that into a motion? One more thing, one more change. Sure. On the first page, the numbering is off. I've got 2Bs on here. So I'm just going to correct that.
Oh, okay.
I move to approve it with the amendments.
Okay. And with your approval on all these, we'll make some minor punctuation changes. I just noticed that 1A, little 1 and 2 have a parentheses after them, but the other ones don't. So we'll just make it all uniform.
Correct.
We'll just make those technical, or not technical, but grammatical changes on our own.
Okay, so I need a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And that will be sent to the board with those changes. Number 004 is on committees.
If the district health officer could form committees, which sometimes they work, who is informed when those occur? It doesn't speak to that.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
If you look at number 1, it just says, it does not apply to committees formed under the authority of the district health officer. My question just would be, who reports what committees have actually been put together?
We put together committees all the time. Accreditation,
right.
Any of a number of things. And so that would not... That's just
so do you just do that as informational, then an agenda at some point?
Well, I don't know that we even do that.
Well, if it's internal, no. It's just...
That's why you're internal. It's
correct.
So these are board committees, right?
Yeah.
They're not external.
There's no external. Well, yeah, on the CHIP committee, we've invited all of you to participate. We've invited other people to participate.
But that's not a board committee,
exactly. Right? It's not a board committee. It's a health district committee.
All I'm looking for is if it's reasonable, just for the point of transparency, if an external committee is formed by the chief health officer, somebody should know that that's in place and just have, if it's on the informational part, you know, quarterly, something along those lines, or something, and that's all. Internal, yeah. Though, that being said, you probably have committee of the day.
We have committees all the time.
Yeah.
It's worse than that.
I think we have done that.
Because I told you about the CHA, I told you about the GIF, I told you about the new facilities.
We may be doing it.
I think I'm doing it.
We may be doing it, so maybe just put that in that and
sure.
Let's see.
Yeah, the facilities advisory board I told you about, which involves the hospital CEOs. So.
Any comments or discussion?
On 3A1B.
Okay.
Should we, that's just because the chief health officer works for the board, should we not add to that district health officer also?
Oh, actually, that is not the chief health officer. That should say district health officer.
It should say district health officer.
And that's down in 2A. There's probably other locations.
Right. I'll just do a global search.
It's all through this.
2A. I think the wording for this was meant for when we had the non-electeds serving on the committee.
Yes.
So would it be easier just to say it should be 3 to 6 members?
Where are you looking again now?
At 2A, the size of committees.
Because we're small board now. Remember, we have that large
okay.
Number. Exactly.
So, how?
I would say at least 3 and not more than 6.
Not more than 6, yeah.
3 and not more than 6? Since we're going to say 3 and not more than 6, that last sentence can go, and I'll just convert the first sentence so that it's understood. There will be no fewer than 3 board members on the committee,
right.
No more than 6.
And maybe just wording-wise on 3A1B, this cannot exercise authority over staff, period, because the district, how about just say cannot exercise authority over staff, and since the health district health officer works for the four board, because you should really never start a sentence with because.
Or just take that sentence out.
Take
the sentence out?
Yeah. Okay.
Starting with because.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Now I've got a question. 2A, I think it's on the second little I. When appropriate non-members, the board may serve on committees but shall not serve as committee chair. But then right before that, we say only board members can be on committees.
You don't need that anymore.
Okay, I'm sorry, Dex, can you say it one more time?
On
2A.
On 2A, it says all committees must be board members. But then you go to the next page, and it says when appropriate, non-members of the board may serve on committees. But we've already said in the one right before that committees are board only.
Well,
but it's not, as you were saying, it's not restrictive. It just says when possible, all committees shall consist of at least 3 board members, no more than 6. You can always add adjunct and invite the other board members, so it's not prohibiting there. You might want to look at some point that to exceed a certain number in size, just in case.
Do they get voting authority?
Who's going to call these meetings? I mean, is this going to be a call of chair, or is this going to be a quarterly meeting? Or
the committee meetings?
Yeah, we call them as we need them, so this is an ad hoc one. Next month, we have to have
finance.
We have to have the finance committee meeting, but we also have to have the meeting to recommend new members to all of the committees. That should be done.
That's usually done at the full board meeting, though.
Okay. Oh, you're right. We don't have that.
Do we have that list still, remember?
Okay. Yes.
So we kind of call those as we need them because we're going to need a finance committee meeting to meet before we present you the updated 3-year.
Right.
projection. So we do it with as the chairperson of that committee wants to, or as we think it's necessary. We'll encourage them to call them.
Right. There's no set date for it. It's as needed.
Okay. So far we have the global change on changing chief health officer to district health officer, and then changing.
Just the designation.
And then we're adding the non-board members can't vote. Is that right?
What you might want to do on I would say when appropriate, non-members of the board may serve on committees but shall not serve as chair and on non-board members.
That way, if
you only have 3
but
elected, and we've got 2 more to go up to 6, then you can
put your 9 votes. And then we're deleting 3A1B second sentence. Right. So that's 3 changes. Yes. Any others?
I'll move
approval
with those.
Okay.
Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And send that with changes to the board. Next is number 5, board officers and members.
Sure. 2B, the elected members will be selected for board membership by the elected members of the respective entities. At-large members will be selected by elected board members. But isn't that predicated on being nominated by, in my case, the NRA? So
you're the first line. The three of you, I think, are the... Let's see what you're saying.
But final approval is by the board.
This is selected.
Yeah, selected.
Upon nomination.
Yeah, there you go.
Or upon nomination, because some people self-nominate.
Correct.
Right.
So just
upon nomination.
Yeah, that's...
Chair, vice chair, and a secretary?
That hasn't changed.
Okay. But do we still need a secretary? I'm just asking.
Oh, for this?
For the board of directors. I mean, we're at Rock. At least when I was on, it was done all by
this. Well, we do it all anyway, but I think we always have a...
Right.
I'm just saying because it's a smaller board now, it's hard to find people.
They need to sign anything ever?
Well, in the event that the chair is not here or the vice chair isn't here, the secretary runs the meeting.
And we do have recommendations from the nominations committee for all three.
Okay, so you do this time?
Yeah, we do. Right. And those will be presented to you at the
July
board meeting.
Mm-hmm. And we're actually having that happen tomorrow at LVCVA,
right,
where the chair and the vice chair are gone. So it can't happen.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Now, but we are going to be asking for a waiver of the bylaws at the next meeting for secretary. So do we need to put that ability in these bylaws, or is that...
No, I think a waiver can always be asked for.
That's ad hoc.
Am I reading this wrongly? The chair will form a nomination committee at a minimum of current board and officers to be no later than July of each year, yet we appoint them and elect them annually in July.
There have been times when, because of scheduling, we couldn't get them together until July,
and it may have been the week before the July board meeting.
As long as it's before the board meeting.
Exactly.
Okay.
Ned, can you explain to me 4B2? What is that exactly?
Oh, that's the same thing we were talking about earlier with respect to Deb's question. That's just part of the statute requires that when we look at at-large members that we recognize that they may be located anywhere within the jurisdiction of the health district.
So no districting or anything like that? I mean,
without regard to location within the health district of their residence or place of employment? What do the residents have to do with it?
Statutorily, that's what they put in.
It's saying,
yeah,
doesn't matter. Yeah, so say you were Boulder City and you have Ward 1, 2, and 3. Sometimes you have restrictions there, but this said it's not pertinent to
you. You could have two businesses that are right next to each other,
Exactly. Whole
representatives of each. Right. I think that's kind of what it's saying.
And that language is pulled directly out of the statute.
Okay. And then I've got a question on 4B1. Didn't we at a previous meeting say on the at-large selection committee, it only could be elected? Can't believe we voted on that.
Yeah, years back.
It was this last time around, but okay. And here it's saying we don't have to do that.
I know that there was discussion about it. I don't recall whether or not there was a motion.
I think there was because we changed the composition of that board committee when we set it up.
The next year, it didn't occur that way. But I honestly don't recall there being a motion. I think it was just a function of how things turned out.
Okay. Because I think it's very appropriate to be only electeds on that board or that committee. Excuse me.
Let's see. Doesn't.
Well, we can certainly make that recommendation to the board if we want.
I see that it says two current board officers, which will now be the electeds. Review the selection, discuss the nominations, and make recommendations back to the elected members of the board.
I just remember we talked about it. I thought it was you maybe that brought it up, that shouldn't that committee only be electeds?
But I don't know that we took a position. We just kind of went along with it that way.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's just how it kind of worked out.
I agree.
So do we want to do that or not? That's the question. We certainly have the power to make that suggestion.
I think that's what this is saying. Is that how I'm reading it?
It says at a minimum two board officers. Yeah. It doesn't, the whole not.
But the board officers.
Not restrictive against non-electeds.
Oh, that was the previous thing I just did. But the previous one said you can't be chair, right?
But I just think, it's more appropriate if electors only sit on the board that nominates the appointed. You don't sit up there. Especially since the appointed pool is pretty small right now.
Yeah.
We had a very awkward situation with that.
Yes, we had a non-elector
considering their own appointment.
So let's make it clear then if that's the suggestion.
So how are we changing this?
That it be elected. So the chair will form, which will include in them at least two elected board, current board members to receive review nominations. Like words in the
other. Two current board members, you're saying?
Elected board members.
Elected.
So we want to restrict it solely to electeds, right? That's the point.
Right. That's the point. I don't necessarily think it needs to be two board officers, but I think it should be all electeds.
Well, maybe that is a better use. We don't need the word officer. You just say at least, or at a minimum, two elected board members to receive the review nominations.
Okay. See, I'm saying all should be all, not two, not just two.
Okay. Yeah, so you need some language in there to state that it's only board members on that committee.
Okay.
Yeah, I was at that meeting, and it was very awkward 3 years ago.
Okay.
Only elected board members is the language that we're going for.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Anything else?
I make a motion to approve with the amendments that we suggested.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. So 005. We'll go with those changes to the board. And our last board governance is 006. which is about the board governance process.
Facilitate an annual board self-evaluation. Do we do that?
We have not done that. Yeah.
I'm
going to
be confused. I don't want to do that.
We do have, and actually, maybe the organization, NALBO, National Association of Local Boards of Health, does have a self-evaluation or an evaluation module. And I know that we didn't want to do a retreat like we did last year, but we could call together a retreat to look in early December, for example, to look at the previous year. And actually, it might be a good idea to look at the previous year since everything is changing this year and talk about doing a self-evaluation and maybe do some board training at the same time on an issue that you all might want it, rather than having talking heads come forward and talk.
It just says, accordingly, the board will. I guess that's something
I'm just suggesting a way to do it.
Yeah. Well, how about change the rule to May? And
yeah,
that way
you've
got flexibility and somebody wants to, you know, do it. I think I take that. I know for UFC we have to do something. We'll just sit on
that. Sure you can. Maybe make it May instead of will?
Yeah.
I just never remember doing it.
I have a question on front page. D-I. What is this saying? The board's committed to ensuring that SNHD, yet we change it to health district and other places,
right,
achieves appropriate results at an appropriate cost, avoiding unacceptable actions and situations.
That's a very broad policy statement. The board has an idea of where it wants to go, how it wants to get there, and that, of course, is within legal bounds. So is the health district moving forward toward that broad umbrella policy goal? Appropriately.
Unacceptable action. That's the thing I circle.
That's simply saying something along the lines of there's no harassment, there's no employment discrimination, there's no fraud, there's no board inappropriateness.
I had some training on this, and that's that it was nothing illegal, immoral, or against.
Correct.
An ethical business standard.
Yeah, since the school district has the same sort of policy.
Could we look at, though, the board is committed to ensuring that the health district achieves appropriate results at a reasonable cost, because I don't know what an appropriate cost would be, at a reasonable cost, while avoiding actions that may be unethical, whatever your three terms were. So at least it's...
That's unethical, illegal, and immoral.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't know what immoral
is. Stay away. That's kind of very
unethical and illegal. Okay.
Appropriate cost to me just means as cost efficiently as possible. Yeah. Which is.
And even.
I don't even know if that's an appropriate term. That's what you would.
We use appropriate twice was part of my
question. Yes. Oh, I see.
Reasonable. It's
and I thought reasonable is you have to work within the framework. Yeah.
It's law. Is what a reasonable person would expect.
Yeah. Sometimes it's cost efficient.
So either reverse it, you could do reasonable, then appropriate, or appropriate, then reasonable.
Okay. So one of the appropriates is a reasonable.
Yeah, you pick which one you want.
Okay. And we're taking out unacceptable actions and replacing it with unethical or illegal actions. Okay.
Have
we updated all
our language? I'm sorry? Have we updated all our language that deals with trans?
In our contracts?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead. We define the roles of the chair and the roles of the vice chair. We don't, I don't see a place where we define the role of the secretary. assigned to the three officers.
That's why I thought it was.
Secretaries.
I'm sorry.
That's why I raised it, because normally in the old days, the secretary is the one who took the minutes, the notes, the transcriptions, and then for years, management got called the secretary, but we never really kind of.
Well, this one actually is the secretary, who has been Lois.
So oh, in this case, it really is the secretary of the board.
Mm-hmm. Not the executive secretary, which I am.
So do you need a definition here of a board secretary?
Right. That's
well,
easy enough to add.
I mean, we define the other roles. I think if you can have three officers, you need to define the role of all three officers.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. I'm not saying I know what that is.
And it can't be just look handsome or pretty.
So you don't want that?
No, that is me there. That is me there, but the secretary is the secretary of the board. Yeah, that is me. The executive secretary is me.
So we need a five in that to come up role.
Right.
Second, board secretary.
Okay.
Any input on what that should be? You want Annette just to come up with something?
It can be similar to the role of the vice chair, which is to assist the chair or the vice chair in the event of an absence or recusal.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
You know, I think it is confusing.
More, though. I don't know what.
You need three?
More dudes. Yeah.
I want to get rid of it.
I think it would be good to clarify the executive secretary, because it is confusing, even if at one point it says the executive secretary is the district.
So his contract spells out executive secretary.
Yes.
That was your issue as to why we had to keep that terminology versus making it.
Well, that's one explanation. It's in there. We've always had a chair, vice chair, and secretary. The secretary sits in when no one else is available.
I assume the bylaws flush those
and they're
offices
all,
out.
Yeah, they're similar.
I
don't know that the bylaws flesh
the
out
bylaws
what a secretary
say,
is.
Yeah, it says the health department operating under the direction of a chief district health officer and the board. So that's why maybe
it said that just even at one point says the district
health officer
also
serves
as
the executive secretary to
district
health officer throughout, and then when his contract or anybody's comes back up, or you do a memorandum of understanding that footnotes that it's a terminology change only, then it's cleaner.
Okay, say that one more time. You want to change when we're talking about secretary in here, we're talking about the secretary who is an officer of the board.
Except that in 3B. 8, it refers to the executive secretary, which is in that case is Dr.
Okay.
Okay.
And also
clarify that.
Yes.
I'm just suggesting throughout our documents, maybe eliminate the executive secretary where it's talking
I'm understanding.
About her eyes.
I'm understanding.
It is health officer, and that way it's clearer.
Okay. How about if I put district health officer serving as executive secretary?
There you go.
Does that work?
I'm fine with whatever it is. I just think it's clearer that way.
Okay.
Any other changes?
I'm
going to
do it no matter
what
you call me.
I'm quite good with those.
All right, anybody want to put that in motion?
I move that we accept 6 with the changes as stated.
Second.
So that's B, A.
Discussion.
Bob wants to add more duties. Okay.
Well, thank you.
So why not up at the top of B, when we describe the district health officer?
You earlier spoke about it because she deleted executive secretary on page 2, so I never had to see a reason to even have a reference to an executive secretary.
Is there a reference to anywhere else?
But the reason I deleted it at the bottom of page 2 is because it was the wrong reference. The district health officer at the bottom of page 2 is referring to Dr. Iser and how he implements internal policies and procedures.
Yes, so the CEO of the organization as opposed to the
executive secretary. Correct. That makes sense. Okay, back to Bob's question.
I like a universal replacing of an executive secretary with a district health officer, which is like, don't tell anybody, it's what he said. It used to make me crazy in Carson City, but we agree on that.
So, if we're agreed on that, then whatever other references to executive secretary and other documents that
universal,
we might have,
yeah.
You know, you're just going to have to deal with that at a future point, probably.
Well, or we can, after we get done with this motion, perhaps entertain a motion to the universal find and replace.
Some of it's in his contract, I think.
Right.
But
For purposes of clarity, at the beginning, I can define the district health officer also as the executive secretary. So if I use DHO throughout, then there will be an understanding that I'm using the DHO, but
you don't mean, that you don't mean Lois.
Correct.
That's correct. Right. And certainly wherever.
Or you could always just say formerly executive secretary so that you're transitioning away from the term in and of itself, because it's kind of antiquated.
You're not talking personally.
No, I'm not.
All right, so there's going to be some clarifying language, including a global change to district health officer.
It could even be in the district health officer, say that formerly known as
executive secretary.
That would take care of the rest of it.
Okay, and that's going to have to do her magic.
Yeah.
So, any other discussion or changes? Okay, we have a motion and I think we have a second, right? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that will go to the board with those changes. And so, I think we're through the governance policies. And on to a sub 2 district health officer job description.
So as I mentioned at the last board meeting, there isn't a job description for the district health officer or the chief health officer. And so what I did is I took the assistant health officer position description and changed it and divided the duties as I thought might be appropriate. And so that's why there aren't any changes on this at all, because it's all brand new. But it should relate to the duties that the district health officer should do for you and the requirements that you may or may not want to choose in their background.
All right, so we have a draft. It's a new draft. Any comments or requests for changes?
Apparently you've been functioning for I don't know how many years without a job description for the chief health officer, so this can be amended at any time.
This one you're saying is the brand new.
This is no district health officer. It is. That's the one. That's number 2 on the agenda item.
So this is the position that's always been here with a new name, right?
Yes.
I'll just start off with a few things I saw.
Yep.
And I know you did your best to draft this. You can all run your own quarterback. But it seemed like in a number of places, there was a kind of a reference to this position having a medical background. This position may not always have a medical background.
No, that was probably just an oversight of mine, because I tried to say, in fact, when I put in there, I put in a doctoral degree of any kind, virtually, with these. So it's not meant to be that. But
for example, I mean, in the second page, the top couple of bullet points, may provide medical consultation to various SNHD programs and activities. May is fine.
Yeah.
But I was going to add something within the scope of their professional background. You know, something that, in the same way with the next bullet point, participate in a variety of boards, commissions, that oversee professional medical services and clinics conducted by Southern Nevada Health District. Again,
assuming they have that in their professional scope and
right,
background.
Right, because the intent was to start having more administrative,
right.
public administration
exactly.
background, so you
exactly.
don't want to limit that.
But if you have a physician, then I wouldn't limit him or her from doing this. That's why I put it in
right,
the
right, so when we're gone, we want it to be clear that that's you're correct. Not subject to have to find somebody.
No, it's very clear.
Where it's under license and certificate, it does say, it makes it clear, I think, that it doesn't have to be a physician. As if a physician then.
Also on training, we require a doctoral degree. I was going to say something, certainly an accredited a master's degree, a degree, and then a master's or PhD preferred,
yeah.
but not necessarily require a doctoral degree.
MBA.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got an MBA or an MBA.
So how are we changing that now?
Under training.
Under training?
We'll have to speak up here. An MBA should not be able to run a health department anywhere. You need someone with an MPH at the very least. I would recommend a doctor in public health or a PhD in public health.
I think you're going back to limited.
It's your choice, but I think having someone running a health district, having someone running a water district without some kind of engineering background.
It's a wonderfully delightful argument to have, because I used to be of the position years and years and years ago that to run a school, for example, you had to have been a teacher. I have come back to a completely different role, but it's really a management role. They then hire the qualified people to go out and do the additional. So it kind of has morphed. I understand. I used to be of that
mentality.
Yeah.
He said, "He's a lawyer." Water law.
Water law.
But Pat Mulroy wasn't. She was
an engineer.
So again, it's just my recommendation to you, and you change it the way you'd like to.
I think you know they ought to have public health experience, but they don't need to be a doctor.
Yeah, we had going back to the education aspect of it. The requirement. I think it's statutory, is that it's a master's. But we were even looking at outside education, not even requiring the education degree. We looked at a general.
So if we changed if we inserted master's or equivalent at the beginning of the bullet under training, does that capture the majority of the master's?
That covers a lot of PhD, MBA.
Master's is a master's. There
right.
is no equivalent to it. So I think what Bob is suggesting, master's or doctoral degree.
Okay, we're good with that?
Are you saying doctoral student too, Bob?
Yeah, master's or doctoral degree.
So it's not limiting, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. So I don't
any further discussion on that particular point?
And you would, what would you do? Would you leave this in public health, medicine, healthcare administration? Would that?
Yep. Or related fields?
It's got a business administration.
Is there any other field you want to add in there?
Accountants.
Yeah.
Well, let's put in attorneys then, too.
I'm for all that.
That would be worse, but yeah.
Could be a related field. I don't know. That'd be a stretch.
I think when you decide to recruit, your recruitment brochure will be what's important more than anything else, because that's where you put in the requirements, and people will apply according to their ability to meet those requirements.
Okay, then let's look at experience. At least 10 years of management success, is that a qualifier, 10 years? I don't know if that's reasonable or not. But then I just want to look at success in administration roles within local, state, federal, public health departments, organizations, or agencies. Does that still mean public health organizations, public health agencies? Or is it other agencies and organizations, so it's broader?
Could we add private, public?
I think we're going to go for public health agencies. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that's what we're going to be shopping for.
I just want to be clear. So it's public is the leader to organizations, and public is the leader to agencies. So they've always had to work in public agencies, and they can't have ever come from the private sector.
No, they must have 10 years experience.
And I think Chris's question is, it has to be in public health, though.
They have to have 10 years experience in public health.
My only other one, just because I see this in private stuff when I interview people, it says expertise in public health. Can we put demonstrated expertise instead of just, I could call myself an expert. I couldn't show anything that I've done to say I'm an expert.
I think we're thinking.
I think the board's going to make that decision when we hire somebody.
This size and scope, we're going to be looking for an experienced public administrator of a public health agency.
I that's what I would recommend too. I just don't think that you should go to a school district, for example. Nothing personal, but just don't think that those skills, especially with the public health law as it relates to duties and responsibilities of a district health officer, are very different from those.
But in the school district, we have program people now. We changed that years ago so that they were from the public health area rather than nursing program. They don't have to have a teaching degree any longer.
That's correct.
So, you mean the inside the school
district? Yeah. Yeah. So you could have someone that could come from director of nursing there, I would think, if they had a public administration.
And Bob, I'll push back, too. I mean, I know a lot of city managers and county managers who have health agencies that they are responsible for, that they supervise and run. So you could have a very qualified county manager somewhere that is responsible for the public health department. And why would you necessarily exclude them?
I know some of my past lives, I managed some pretty big companies, and there are disciplines that I've been responsible for that I have no clue what they do, but I know how to make sure they do their job and do it well.
That's a good point, Bill, because in a lot of places they are still under the auspices of the municipality or something outside.
At the end of the day, the board's going to decide. So
that kind of falls under this definition. If the public health department is within a city or a county, then that's a local public health department. Local, state, or federal public health department. And I think Rod's right.
My personal opinion is it doesn't matter that much because the board's going to decide at the end of the day. If I were deciding, and this is just me, this is my subjective opinion, it would have to be somebody pretty strong that's not in public health. Mm-hmm. For me to choose them, but I suppose there's that possibility. Otherwise,
as long as it doesn't close the door on that. This is a good question.
Yeah, as you say,
look
get
at
the board the broadest.
Yeah. And my initial question was just, is 10 years correct, right? But I don't know. It's an awful long time, but I don't know if that's how our standard has been. Like when we hire a county manager or whatever, how
that's often? For a county or a city manager, that's probably pretty close. I think you want someone with progressive experience, running a division, running a health department, and that will take 10 years to get to that point. I think that's.
I
put in 15 years and Annette dropped it back down to 10 just because I think you really need someone with a lot of
success.
So, this size and complexity of district, I see Dr. Lockett shaking his head. He may not want me to point him out, but having worked in several health departments, it's not an easy job.
So is it management or is it administrative? What's the terminology that's the best? What are we trying to grasp here? Because management means one thing in some faces and administration means something else. So this is just a guiding document, but down the road, when and if there's an opening, then we got to know what we're talking about. So are we talking about supervision? Are we talking? Is that
one of the things we did in the last legislation, two years ago, was we made it less restrictive to give ourselves more flexibility. So, whatever we say here is we either have to decide we want those restrictions or make them less restrictive so that we're
we're giving ourselves more flexibility.
Oh, I'm sorry. Does management include supervision? Is that part of what we're looking at? Or is that just an all-inclusive term?
Management to me includes supervision.
Okay.
And you can always waive that if you get someone with 8.5 years that you want to hire. There's no reason, given this job description, that you couldn't hire her. Yeah.
All I'm suggesting is that you start defining management and you start defining supervision. You're gonna restrict it more instead of making it less restrictive.
What about progressive experience? Again, the thing I use in private business.
What is progressive experience?
Meaning you've kind of...
You worked your way up.
Yeah, you worked your way through that discipline.
So it sounds like you guys and gals are saying that management includes that concept.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives us a lot more flexibility instead of saying you had to be manager for 10 years.
Know what you mean what you say. So that's all I'm looking
for. All right, so...
And I think we should have to have a valid and valid driver's license and current car registration. Absolutely. The law is 45 days, and it bothers me that public employees do not comply with it. You supported me when I tried in ways and means to make a requirement that all public employees have to prove out that they registered their dog.
So, do we need to vote on this piecemeal, or can we agree on?
Let's just agree.
I think we're okay.
You know, the only thing I would change is master's or doctoral degree.
Correct.
The first four, the rest of it is fine.
Okay.
And there was just one thing, looking at the children, I think it's successful, but the law makes it sound like the district health officer is the.
Boss.
Yeah,
it
boss.
Is. DHO is so, the CEO.
And this does say assists, assumes management. I just want to make sure that we're not going to have two equal positions. That are,
no, I think there's supervision, receive, and exercise within the two different positions. The DHO gets direction from the board, and the CMO gets direction from the DHO.
Right. I agree.
Okay, so we have master's included with doctoral. Any other changes?
Doug had asked about can demonstrate expertise in public health, and it came back to that, so I'm just going to get that out.
Yeah, I suggested progressive experience.
Where are we under training or experience?
Training.
I just wanted to bring it back up because he was.
To me, it's semantics, but I'm okay with that if everybody wants to make that change.
I think it's implied personally.
Any others?
So move to approve.
Before we do that, I just want to make sure. So the only change that we're making to the DHO is the inclusion of master's or
okay. Doctoral degree.
Very good. Thank you.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
There's only that change. Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. We'll send that to the board. Yes. Do we need a motion for that? All right, we're ready to start. All right, we will reconvene with the number A3, the Chief Medical Officer job description.
And again, this is based on the assistant health officer position that we had on the books, but haven't, in my opinion, been able to afford to hire who could help out with a variety of things. So it's based on that, just like the DHO.
So you have them under clinics and nursing, which is kind of how somebody let off with them. Is that what Bonnie kind of does now, mm-hmm. as far as your position, right? And then...
I didn't have that in there initially, but Annette and I talked and we decided to put it in there with Bonnie's leaving that this would save money allow the chief medical officer to still do the kinds of things across the whole district that I do in my in one of my two hats anyway.
So is clinics inclusive enough, or are there other medical areas that we're not including?
That's what I was thinking. Because not just the nursing, it needs to be broader medical. Right.
And I think I mentioned this to one of the board meetings, but where there is a health officer that's separate from a CEO who is not a physician in general, they can do all the clinics, they can do things like EMS, they can oversee the laboratory, they can do whatever you want them to do, but kind of routinely they do that, and public health emergency preparedness. So it's any of a variety of those things that they can do, and the design would be that the CMO, like, does other duties as assigned to him or her. But right now, for example, EMS reports to Dr. Lockett. The laboratory reports to Dr. Lockett. Public health emergency preparedness reports to Dr. Lockett. And he's not changing, so that's...
And what's his title right now?
He's the division director for community health. Or something really close to that.
The list of job duties is predicated as examples of essential responsibilities and duties.
That's correct.
So if the question is, and oversee the activities and operations of clinics, because I agree, it should be a broader scope. And maybe it's just says, at a minimum, oversee. I don't know, just so that it doesn't appear to be restricted. Well, how we function right now is very different from how we're functioning in 3 years when some of us go away. Because...
Sure, but if you look at the first bullet, assist in the development and implementation of public health policy consistent with the mission and overall goals. And then the third one, assist the DHO with administrative work as assigned. There may be subordinate level managers. And we have done some changes in who reports to who. For example, the DIIS is part reported to Ms. Sorensen, part reported to Dr. Lockett, and we've now combined them all under Dr. Lockett. So we do these changes. It's just what organizationally works best and seems most appropriate, given the level of skills. So that will always happen within the structure of any district, any department, any city, any county.
Or project sector, for God's sakes. We do it all the time.
Yeah, so that's... This is not meant to be limiting but descriptive.
Now, for example, Dr. Lockett's job duties when he was hired, have you added things to him, or is that pretty much what he inherited when he took that position?
He inherited most of that, but the DIISs he inherited, the ones from Ms. Sorensen, he inherited informatics from me because Dr. Middow did that. There was something else that you inherited.
I think that was it, just those two.
Right, and then other things. The PIO reported to me. She and that department report to Andy. So it just depends on how things are organized. And for example, the accreditation coordinator could have reported to me, could have reported to Dr. Lockett, could have reported to Andy. It made sense organizationally to put her under Andy. I don't think I would have had her report directly to Bonnie, or to Jackie. But Andy seemed to make sense because he kind of stretches across all of the divisions as well.
So what is a DIIS?
Disease Investigator. Remember we had those 200 people come in and get when we had that videotape from the Public Health Service? They do disease investigations, so they follow up. They sometimes go out and take samples. I can go into detail if you'd like.
No, I just wasn't sure what the acronym stood for. But can I ask Bonnie a question? Do you have thoughts on this? Because it is sort of culling out and moving and changing things since you're going and you've been here for so long.
Well, the only thing I have a question about, if it's the intent not to fill the director of nursing position, you're going to have a problem with NRS because it states that the activities of the nursing division have to be achieved. They have to be a nurse. So I don't know how you're going to get around that.
Well, there are three divisions, and each one has a nurse that heads that division.
I don't think that's what the statute is. You may want to clarify.
I don't know. I haven't read the statute. I didn't know there was one.
Yeah, there is.
The statute does say that the nursing services should be... there should be a chief administrative nurse over the nursing services, but that doesn't preclude the district from having a structure for
an administrative nurse managing the various programs and having those people report to the chief medical officer. It would be the same structure as UMC, for example. They have a chief nurse, and the chief nurse reports to the CEO.
And Bonnie reports to me as a
right.
So full management responsibility. I just want to make sure we're not paring ourselves down so
right.
tightly that we can't really let people do the job we want them to do. And I suspect the chief of nursing, with no disrespect, is a very busy position. And then you have someone else. I think we just got to be sensitive to how that layering works.
Can I hate to do this with Dr. Lockett here, but would a position that he's in today, would that be qualified for a position like this? I mean, his medical background, I'm just trying to understand the
physician.
Medical backgrounds, the
he's
residency.
He's a PhD, so no. You might recall Tom Coleman was an MD, so he certainly could have done that. But when he left, I decided it was more appropriate in that particular position to have another doctoral candidate, another doctoral person, and Dr. Lockett was very qualified, as you well know,
yes.
in a variety of areas. So I hired him as a PhD into that, so he wouldn't be.
So I think a PhD would not qualify, would not be an equivalent to a public health physician?
No.
Now, I've got just a question, something that was before that. And again, I tend to be real literal about things. Under supervision received and exercise, it says, second paragraph, the exercise of direct supervision over management, supervisory, professional, technical, and clerical staff. When I read that, it sounds like over everybody in the district, not just within the scope of their duties.
No, it's just within the scope of their duties, as assigned. Just as I would say that Dr. Lockett exercises direct supervision over management, supervisory, professional, technical, and clerical staff.
So Dr. Armstrong,
when you're
gone, who is your immediate number two that can assume statutorily the duties that you do today?
Dr. Lockett could. Could be a DHO.
How can if he's not?
No,
that was back to my initial question.
Are you talking about the DHO? Because I'm both the DHO and the CMO. So
okay.
which one?
Currently today.
Yeah. You would probably have to get Nancy, as you did before, if I were to leave immediately before we hired this person.
Why would you not do nursing? Because it has to be a physician.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Why would you not do it with the nursing person?
Do what with the nursing?
What could they not be your next one? Who's Nancy? I don't know.
Nancy Williams.
Nancy is, if you're talking about the CMO position, Nancy Williams, who you assigned as the...
For that temporary piece?
Yes, yeah, she would have to be the acting CMO or interim CMO. But for DHO, then Dr. Lockett, Bonnie, Jackie Resitar, Andy, and many other people within
because
the district
it's
could legally
a
do it.
Administrative position, and that's right. That's
management
administrative,
yeah.
Okay. I just hope we're not creating, when we create a chief medical officer, someone that's really taking the nursing position. I still think you need to find a nursing position and not doesn't mean they
I disagree. I think that management-wise that makes sense. Financial-wise, that makes sense.
But then we run into an NRS issue now.
I don't think we do, and I think that just addressed that.
Right. I'd like to see what...
Yeah, I was going
to
say, yeah.
Sure, I'll say.
So if we weren't doing this and this bill hadn't passed, would you be replacing that position anyway or not?
Oh, if with Bonnie leaving, of course I would.
As the nursing director, though, not
no,
as
the
chief medical officer.
I would be.
Because you're doing both. Otherwise, maybe you shouldn't be doing both. I don't know. I'm just trying to understand.
If the law hadn't changed and Bonnie was leaving, I would still look at replacing her with a potential physician. I might go for a doctorate in nursing or someone with as much experience as what we with 10 years progressive nursing experience.
I don't see that this is that much different than the existing structure. The names are different. You have a chief medical officer, and then below them they have a nursing director. You could still have that structure, or you could go to a flatter structure with three nursing departments. Either way, I think the way this is.
Would you be
And it's going to be at the discretion of the CMO when you have that.
The DHO.
That's what you call CMO.
So there's been some discussion so far, just among us, as to making this a little broader than nursing. You heard in public comment, do we want to go even broader than that, included environmental health and other things? So I think that seems to me that's a fundamental decision we need to make. But I don't know that we need to necessarily decide whether we're going to have, you know, a new nursing director today.
That's really a management kind of decision.
True, as long as whatever we're adopting doesn't preclude us still continuing to have the discussion on what's the best way to deal with that. Because public health, I know that there's financial issues here as well as all of our governments, but it's still very, very important, and sometimes you spend the money the way you really need to spend it rather than going out on the cheap. And I just would think that we need to understand. I don't mind flattening things out, but I do think you have to acknowledge the expertise of who really is doing that day-to-day. And Dr. Lockett is doing those specific areas, and that's worked, and nursing was doing their specific areas, and that's worked. Then what is it then that the chief medical officer is really going to do, other than seem to be pulling out some duties? And I think how we do that at this time if he's already acting in that role. And maybe it's more anticipatory for down the road. I don't know. I'm just trying to talk it through out loud.
So I think that goes to the breadth of what the duties are. I mean, what's clear, I think, is this CMO is under the direction of the district health, the DHO, right? So that the DHO is going to be making assignments. We can certainly pull out duties if we think they're too restrictive here, or we can add to them if we think we need to. We want to, you know, provide for other possibilities.
I think they should be looking at environmental health as well. I think if you're going to have your management person or your person with the public health background, it's not just in HIV/AIDS, it's not just in nerve, it should be health. And then they still answer to your DHO.
Again, that goes to several items under examples of essential responsibilities. Assist in the development and implementation of public health policy consistent with the mission and overall goals of the district. So that's wherever he or she can weigh in, should weigh in.
Yeah, we got specific in AIDS, clinics, nursing, and nothing about the other health areas. That's all I'm trying
to say. So maximum broadness would be to change the second bullet point to assume full management responsibility for all public health services, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I wouldn't do that because that's what the DHO does.
That's not what the DHO does.
The DHO manages all health.
Oh, you just have to add the qualifier under the direction of the DHO.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Which is up there in supervision, receive, and exercise.
Yep.
So again, I think we can strike some of these more restrictive ones, or we can add more environmental health things. But I mean, the more you put in here,
the harder life's going
to
be.
The harder, the more restrictive you're going to be. I mean, it's a non-exhaustive list. So
sure.
I mean,
yeah, that's the point.
That's part of the point. But as long as it's clear that it's under the direction of the DHO, and as long as we're not saying that this is an exclusive list or an exhaustive list, I think we're okay.
Yeah.
So we just need to determine what we want the non-exhaustive list to say.
I agree with Bob's language. I think that's to the point.
I do too.
Okay. So you want to strike bullet two?
Can I just say assume full management responsibility for all public health care?
Under the authority.
Public health.
Under the supervision and direction.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
For all public health, I've written here.
Service.
Thank you.
Under the direction of the DHO.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you already say up top the very first bullet and under the direction of the DHO.
Right.
So you've got that there.
So if the DHO wanted to take environmental health directly,
they could.
Yes. In that would cover that language.
Just for clarification. this, the CMO is not, doesn't report to the board, right? It reports to you. That's so the only person that reports to us is the DHO.
Well,
but
serves
pleasure.
Pleasure.
It has to be approved by the board.
So the way I read that, and you can correct me, is that we'll find someone who can be the CMO, and I'll introduce them to you. You can... I don't know whether you need an actual motion to approve them, but also to dismiss them, it sounds like to me.
They're serving. They would...
I don't think you... Do they hire? I didn't read that in there.
No, but it has to... You're working in concert with the board.
Yeah, yeah.
And they serve the board's pleasure the same way that you do.
Yeah.
With advising consent.
Yeah. Yes. With the advising consent.
Yeah.
So I would nominate someone, and you would advise and consent.
The only other question I had, and I don't know who drafted this, under experience, 10 years of management experience in a local, state, or national public health department, program, organization, or agencies, aren't you looking for this person's going to have medical experience?
Right.
Not necessarily just management experience.
Sure, that makes sense. Management and clinical?
Or whatever the right.
Well, and I think a lot of that's covered under the medical parts, come under license or certificate.
Yeah, so the medical under training, completion of accredited medical school and residency.
Yeah.
And then license or certificate available to get a license within 6 months.
Right, but then you go to experience as 10 years of management versus 10 years of.
I think you do want 10 years of management experience because you could have a clinician who did family practice in a family practice group, and I couldn't recommend them to come in and do management here.
But maybe administrative experience instead of management. I don't know.
Something about medical management.
Exactly.
Or something.
It talks about public health management. Management.
Why don't you just say 10 years of experience in a local, state, or national public and get rid of the term management, and then they can, when you craft your job description,
sure,
yeah. You're
yeah.
Actually looking
that's
to...
That's good. That's good. Yeah, that seems good.
And did we want to require a master's degree as well in public health?
It has master's and credit college in public health, so healthcare.
I would recommend that. And I think everyone that you had... I don't know anyone beyond Dr. Sands, but all of the three of us have had at least an MPH. And again, I
is that
oh, I think that's essential.
Degree is what I think you're at.
Yeah, it's a degree.
We've been going through that.
All in favor.
There, that, I'm sorry.
Well, are there, because that's what brought this around, partly because the pool was so limited that we only could find two or three people. Are there enough people with the masters along with their...
Yeah, there are people graduating from this state right now with MPHs. When I was up in Washoe, there were two or three students during 1 year who had an MD-MPH. There's one who's just graduated from UNLV with an MPH on top of her MD. Yeah, there are. I don't know.
Could we insert the word desired instead of required so that way
preferred? You could.
I think desired is what I see a lot in job apps and stuff.
Sure. But I mean, again, we're trying not to limit ourselves.
Right.
To your point.
Yeah. Or equivalent or something.
Especially if we're going to put 10 years previous experience
right.
In there.
Right.
Yeah, because those people
right.
Have to then work.
Right. For 10 years
to get
to be
qualified.
Right. They have to be. Have to be almost 50 years old.
No, not really, because I went back and got my doctorate while I was practicing public health. So I did that concurrent with my commission in the public health service. And a lot of people do that.
But considering how much trouble we had finding you.
Right, that was
I think
the point.
The pool's
that was
pretty
different.
Small. I know that.
That was,
but
yeah,
I, we have
that was
a smaller pool.
Current
all right, do we have any other... Changes.
So, did we make a decision? Or am I changing something else?
10 years of experience, and then I don't know that we resolved the question. But it's a master's degree. What did you call from the preferred or?
We said preferred or desired.
Okay.
Whichever is the best legal word.
Okay.
do they vote on this one? Because this is really an internal management position. So is this something that the board...
It says with the approval of the board.
Right.
But the position description is what I'm talking about.
It says the DHO shall, with the approval of the District Board of Health, approve a job description, qualifications, and compensation, and oversee the recruitment and selection process for the CMF. So, anyway, we're just recommending this to the board.
Any questions? We don't really hear hopefully that we're looking for an individual that reflects our community. As we look at any job positions that are out there,
so that we do that all the time. We look for diversity. We look for.
Yeah, I know, but I look at our board. It's all white guys, so except for two. So I just hope that that's inherent. That as you look at people that are qualified, that we're looking at diversity as kind of thing.
I can think of four, and I'm not even trying. But take that up with you later.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve with the amendments that we made.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We'll send that to the board with those changes. Last one is the advisory board resolution. Running back.
So this is, Annette drafted this too, and so it also is all new, since it is all new.
I would, and maybe it's in here, but I think as a board we ought to be able to send to the advisory board whatever we decide we want them to. Mm-hmm. So as I was talking with Dr. Iser today, maybe you could speak. Some of the things he was suggesting might go to them. I think we need that flexibility again, not just limit it to these particular things, but when things come up, and they can serve as a good screening board for us so that by the time the issue gets to us, it's already been vetted a little bit more.
But you can just add what other issues asked designated by the board. Right. That way, say you want to have a public hearing on X, there might be three people there that are real interested, and that they'll hold that form. I mean, there may be ways, to vet things before they come to us, especially like on regulations.
So would it resolve the issue if the last "be it further resolved" states that the nothing prohibits the advisory board from submitting matters to the full board, and I could just reverse that language and add another "be it resolved" that the full nothing prevents the full board from submitting issues to the advisory board for management for handling.
But it does say here the advisory committee will chime in on all major areas. We want that to be the case where they can on every issue. I mean, I don't know.
What they can bring to us.
Well, it's number five there. Make recommendations to the board on all major policy matters concerning the nature, scope, and extent of public health services. It's the word "all" that.
Okay. Sure, just to be clear, we don't have to listen. But
don't make a big word though either.
Right.
The things that Mr. Luther and I talked about at lunch included clinical issues, and in particular, as grants become less available, how do we manage those internal issues as we may have to cut back on services? How do we do that? As the grants, we no longer get grants. We talked about accreditation being one of the things that the advisory board, although I do recommend that you still listen to, we still do presentations to you under the CHO report on accreditation. And then the third thing that occurred to me is if there would be, especially with Tim being on that board, is that if there are environmental issues such as waivers for septic systems, that they be able to listen to that, and then they could still appeal to you as the regular board, but that they could listen to them first, and if we got to a resolution there, if we didn't get to it in the program, they could appeal to the advisory board, and if we didn't get it there, they can appeal to you.
At the cost of adding a month?
Not necessarily.
students.
The cost of what?
Adding on. We don't even know how often this group should meet, really.
Well, but if you insert them as a mid-level appeals clerk, then you add time to the process of the appeal.
We could do it 2 weeks before this board meeting.
Yes.
Before the regular board meeting.
There are sometimes four or sometimes five. Or if they only meet every other month, sometimes eight.
Anyway,
I think it's early to try to pin down with any great specificity.
And I do too. I just, my point was, let's make it as flexible as possible so that if we want to send things like that to them, we can. I mean, other things we might want to send to them are, you know, regulatory changes, fee changes. I mean, who knows? You can use your imagination.
I think it's better to start out a little more restrictive and then add, just because sometimes you can end up with a
people that make work, and that's
right.
Not what the intent
right.
is. It's to kind of be IRs and ears before it becomes maybe necessarily an issue. It's like, go vet this, or you know, that type of thing. So
you don't want to overwhelm a new organ, a new entity.
And as we talked at lunch, you also don't want to overwhelm us with
right.
variety.
Especially,
I guess that's part of the cost of this new law that's unintended, is that it will be very expensive for time.
So maybe you look at your bullets. Number two could be combined with number six, identify public health needs and make recommendations to the board about delivery. I don't know what seven means, so maybe that's where you
or
put the chairs.
Or change that whole, be it resolved by the board that there is hereby established the advisory board. The advisory board is the advisory board will be delegated duties, responsibilities, and functions by the board. And don't enumerate any of them yet.
Okay.
And give them a chance to put together their bylaws and their basic rules and talk with them and find out what kinds of things they think they want to do as well. But leave us complete flexibility in how we proceed once they're constituted and up and running.
Maybe
we can always come back and formally amend this document.
Correct. And you can even put a qualifier in that says shall meet at least quarterly, and then that way you're not stuck with something.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a great idea.
You can always add more, but it's harder.
It's great.
For planning, it'd be better for them to be able to take a look at something like that.
Another option could be because this document is supposed to be giving them some sort of authority, we could use your language and say, at a minimum, this is what they're going to do. They're going to advise on public health policy matters and other duties as assigned. I wouldn't eliminate all responsibility delegated to them, because you are going to have them advise you on public health policy matters.
Keep five or six.
Maybe I'm hung up on the definition of delegate, because to me, delegate is the transfer of the authority to that other entity.
I've had experience with two different advisory groups that really created some issues for the governing body. I like the idea of starting out
narrow
and get rid of delegated advisory board.
So are we suggesting keep five and six, and then just say and such other duties as delegated
by the board?
Is it appropriate here to talk about how they report to the board? I think we had some discussion last board meeting. Maybe they have a designated person that interfaces with the board instead of seven different people, or however many there are on this various topics, that they elect their own representative.
They'll elect a chairperson, probably, and a vice chair and a secretary, just like you do. So I would recommend that the chair.
I would assume we'd have an agendized item similar to when you give your CHO reports, where they would just come bring whatever issues. We'd either assign them or they.
We would agendize their report to you under board reports, probably.
And I'm just saying, maybe we should say you need to designate a specific person to come talk to, so it doesn't change every meeting. I don't know.
Someplace we should say they will elect a chair and vice chair. I don't think they need a secretary, but elect a chair and vice chair. who will report to the board. And then that way, it doesn't mean any of the members can talk to any of us at any time, but you're talking about the formal structure of being able to come forward.
Exactly.
On the second page, the very first, be it first resolved. So how do we want to change that then?
We don't. They should come. Let's see what they say. They may they may have a great idea that we hadn't thought of how they could interface with us.
One other point is the description of the one position doesn't include what the statute says about the representative of minority groups, and that necessarily doesn't change the fact that it's already in the statute, but we might want to include that here.
I think we need to somehow keep in mind, so we can go back to the next legislative session, that we should have one member from unincorporated Clark County.
We will remember that. And just, can we discuss that here? Apparently, Mr. Oscarson and Mr. Thompson both knew of that, but decided not to try to amend it while it was still... They chose not to do it, even though they knew that this was an error or an omission.
Don't
worry. Well, it's just sad because it eliminates half the residents of Southern Nevada, more than half.
Yes, it does.
Unless the city's reached out to people that live both in
Corporate.
Yeah, it's in the jurisdiction.
It doesn't say it's jurisdictional. When you go back and read the language, they don't have to live in the municipality that they're selected from. I didn't read it that way.
It's a resident of the jurisdiction. It's a resident of the jurisdiction.
Okay, I know Annette needs to leave.
Okay, so let's just make sure we're advisory board, we're deleting the word delegated. We're going to keep 5 and 6 and then add in other duties as it's signed by the board of directors. Mm-hmm. You're going to add the underserved language.
Mm-hmm.
And shall meet at least quarterly someplace.
Okay.
And that's it. That's all.
Move approval.
Second.
What she said.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries. So we're on to 4B. Discuss and approve recommendations to the Health District Board. Do we have anything else we want to add to what we've already...
No, but I would, if you need a motion to recommend that these 5 items be brought forward.
Yes, please.
Okay, all right. I would make that motion that 001, 02, 04, 05, and 06 be recommended along with the job description to the Board of Directors.
As discussed and amended, yes. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries. We'll send all of that to the board. And then we're on to our final public comment. Anyone wishing to speak? Thank you.
I'll be quick. Okay. Victoria Harding, SNHD, CIU. I just wanted to say on the CMO position, because I pulled Bonnie's job description after I read it, because I said that's Bonnie's job. That really is Bonnie's job. So much so that I feel like these other areas of, you know, if we have the outbreak of measles, an outbreak of Ebola, God forbid, or something like that, that's not going to be under the direction of this person unless it's particularly spelled out under the CMO job description. Same as environmental health. There's lots of things in environmental health, too. I really think it needs to be broadened, and I think we can't write this stuff for the fact that Dr. Iser is in the position and has that ability, being the MD, MPH, and all those things. We have to look out for the fact that someday we're not going to have that. And so I think those duties just need to be spelled out fairly well within the CMO. That's it.
Can I respond?
Yeah.
Probably not.
But again, just in the recruitment for that position, when I leave, that's where all of that will be spelled out. And you certainly have, you can change these at any time you want to.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Good job, everybody. Thank you for being here. Meeting adjourned.
The Finance Committee meeting is confirmed for the 24th at 3 o'clock.
I assume you're
on the 24th of July?
August.
Okay.
Do
you
guys
have
recycling? We
do.
There are little blue
bins.
It's
high school.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, he had another meeting, so hopefully he got some sort of
Bye, Rod. See you
later.
One of the things I do is
I'll reserve the conference call line in case you don't want to or have time to come in.
Who's the best person for me to talk to?
Friday, you were.
So I'm right. Talk to him before the meeting.
But Andy's doing all the work.
Yes,
he is. I talked on the phone.
Oh, that's sweet.
Hospital construction. But I did for a period. I had no consent to any polls open, but.
Let's have Jackie
in this expansion project. I don't know what happened, but really, the
system 3:35 was the last.
We don't buy this for anyone. We don't buy bottled water for anyone. We used to give floral arrangements for deaths. We used to give cakes for birthdays. We can't do that.
So
and as I mentioned to you, the only reason that Mary Ellen got something is because I went and paid for it out of pocket. We'll see. Actually, Bob and Rod are both here, so we can see what they think. But with the, Doug wants us to order the plaques, and he'll pay for them.
I have no problem with it. It'd be easier if you guys order so we get the right stuff on it.